Welcome to another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, proudly brought to you by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. Last week, behind closed doors, Kwadukuza Council tabled a report marked in committee, meaning it was discussed in private, off limits to the public and the press. The report deals with security provided to councillors and officials. As subject, civic groups and opposition councillors have questioned for a long time, calling for clarity on costs, a clear policy, and greater transparency around how these arrangements are managed. To date, the municipality has not made the full details public. The document, titled Consolidated Report on Security Provision for Councillors and Officials, was prepared by the Executive Directors for Community Safety and Corporate Services, and it has been leaked to Uncensored. Today, we're unpacking what's inside, because this is not just about safety. It's about your money, your right to know, and how public funds are being used behind closed doors, especially at a time as Kwadukuza tries to recover from a budget deficit in the last financial year, which forced the municipality into taking austerity and cost-cutting measures. And obviously those measures affect basic delivery of services across the region. And that's why transparency matters, because when budgets tighten, the public has a right to know where their money goes and what takes priority. The confidential report, tabled last week, sets out which councillors and officials are being guarded, why, and what it's costing. It shows that since the 1st of July 2021, when the new local government began, Kwadukuza has paid for bodyguards, home security, and even safe house accommodation. Yet there's no adopted policy to regulate any of it. In many cases, no SAPS threat assessment, which is legally required, was ever submitted. Instead, councillors self-report a threat, and the municipality simply acts on it. What was meant to be temporary protection has become a permanent privilege. Now, here's what the law says. Only four political office bearers, the mayor, the deputy mayor, speaker, and chief whip of council, are entitled to security under the minister's annual determination. For any other councillor or official, the law is crystal clear. They must open a case with SAPS. SAPS then has to conduct a formal threat and risk assessment, and only then, if the threat is verified, may the municipality provide security. But now in Kwadukuza, that process has all but collapsed. Threat assessments are missing. Security is approved internally, not by SAPS, but by the Speaker, Dolly Govender, and the Municipal Manager. Neither is trained in security. Neither holds any qualifications at risk management, law enforcement, or protective services. Yet they're the ones deciding who gets protection and who doesn't. And once they sign off, councillors, and this is where the pearl comes in, they're allowed to personally select their own close protection officers, or CPOs as they're called, hand-picked individuals, not drawn from SAPS, not screened through any independent process. Many of them are family members, friends, or political allies, placed on the municipal payroll with full benefits, salaries sometimes up towards 550,000 rand a year, access to vehicles, overtime allowances, and in some cases, even free accommodation. The catch? Most have no formal training. They're not licensed under the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority. And if you've seen them, you'll know what insiders mean when they say most couldn't outrun a lunch special. They're not elite protectors. They patronage appointments dressed up as security. Then there's the pro-security company, the private company supplying guards to councillor homes and municipal sites. They were appointed in 2017 under highly questionable circumstances, bypassing normal procurement processes, and the matter was never investigated. Despite those red flags, their contract was quietly renewed in 2023 for another 3 years, extending it to 2026, even as the company was implicated in a fraudulent PPE tender with over 100 million rand. The contract cost 600 million rand per month, according to the budget. And inside,
how much?
6 million. Sorry, 600? Yeah, 6 million a month. And insiders estimate over 60 bodyguards are deployed under this agreement.
You know, I mean, for a second, when you said 600 million, it was a shock. But then 6 million sounded, oh, well, that's nothing. 6 million rand a month.
That is how much it's costing ratepayers. And most of them are stationed at councillors' private homes, often for 4 years without reassessment. And the real sting, these costs don't appear as a single line item. They're hidden in layered cost centres buried across departments, and it's almost impossible for the public to see how much is actually being spent when you look at the budget line items. Now, one name stands out on the report. It was Councillor Jethro Bunder. He's the ward councillor for Sharkers Head. Now, he was attacked during his 2021 election campaign, but residents at Sharkers Head, his ward, say the attack wasn't political violence. It was rejection from his own community who didn't want him as their councillor. But, you know, his nomination went through, and today Sharkers Head is one of Kwadukuza's most neglected wards. Dark streets, broken pipes, overflowing drains, no visible leadership. Ask anyone there and they'll tell you he is never here. And that's because he's actually not there. Since his election in 2021, Banda has never lived in his ward. Instead, he's been housed in a fully furnished safe house at Blythedale Beach, rent-free. Every bill, lights, water rates, it's paid for by the municipality. Even his two full-time CPOs live there too. Their accommodation and utilities are also covered. So when residents in Sharkers Head queue for water and dodge potholes, their councillor enjoys beachfront living and 24-hour security, all funded by the very people left behind. And if the danger came from his own community's disapproval, why are ratepayers still paying for protection?
Who's asking these questions?
Well, no one is. We are asking them
now.
But
why aren't ward councillors that represent us asking these questions?
Well, this is a damning report that's just been tabled now behind closed doors.
But does everyone
know? They've been asking this for ages.
Does everyone know this information?
Well, hopefully they will now know. It was revealed just recently. It was actually tabled at last Thursday's
council meeting. Has it been secret information until now?
Yes. It's not public. It's not for public or for media to know.
Yeah, but I mean internally for council members?
A few councillors have told me that he is at Blythedale when I did question where he was living, and obviously they then kept mum and say, oh, security purposes. But since 2021, that's when
you see the point is that our elected representatives who have access to this information have done clearly nothing to rectify the situation.
Or not put it in the public domain, because this is our money. We have
done
a
nothing
right
to rectify. Otherwise, it would appear in your secret report.
Yeah. Well, listen to this example. This is Becky Mpanza. He was the former manager of electric services on the south. He received municipal-funded security for 6 months after alleged threats, and he was later dismissed for theft linked to municipal property. And then we have Sandile Tsele. He was the director of human settlements. He got protection after he had a public lot confrontation, and he subsequently resigned in 2024. Now the municipal manages multi-million rand protection. This is a league of its own. His protection dates back to 2017 when taxi operators stormed municipal offices. So he was later relocated to Durban for his own safety, and he still lives in a luxury gated estate in Durban. That threat is long over, yet the resolution authorizing his bodyguards was never rescinded. But which means today, 8 years later, ratepayers are still footing the bill. To this day, he travels with full-time CPOs, each earning about 550,000 rand per year. His security bill has cost ratepayers since 2017 approximately 15 million rand, excluding vehicle and perks. And in 2023, after a car accident, his vehicle was replaced with a Hilux double cab, complete with fuel insurance, and we also cover maintenance. Now, all this is on the municipal account. Insiders say both his CPOs are relatives, and one source said to me, it's actually not protection, it's patronage. Now, all this unfolds as Kwadukuza tries to recover from an almost 300 million deficit recorded in the 23-24 financial year. The new budget, which was effective from the 1st of July, forces every department to cut costs, streamline operations, and balance the books. Yet, the $6 million monthly contract, the safe houses, and the CPO payroll remain untouched. We can't get a working light, said one censored when I spoke to them, but there's a guard at every house. So every rand spent on guarding politicians is a rand not repairing infrastructure, not lighting streets, and not serving residents. So why hasn't this been fixed? Because council resolutions don't expire. They stand until formally rescinded. Old decisions linger for years, outstanding new budgets, new leadership, and even the threats themselves. Even this report concedes the financial breakdown was not available when this item was prepared. So in plain language, they don't even know or won't say how much is really being spent. And the authors of this report, they recommended finalizing the close protection policy, requesting updated SAPS threat assessments because 90% do not exist, reducing security levels under budget strains, and producing a comprehensive cost report. But insiders warn too many benefit from the system to see a change. So the full cost of this security arrangement still hasn't been made public. Those figures are expected to be tabled in council soon. And when they are, we will obviously be updating the story because accountability doesn't end with a leak. And ratepayers have a right to know how every rand of their hard-earned money is spent.
See, my problem with this is that we provide the information and it goes absolutely nowhere because you or I or anyone else listening to this has no access to the corridors of power because we have duly elected representatives to do that for us. That's what
voice.
The ward councillor system is there for.
Do we you vote think ward for councillors?
Well, of course, they are our representatives
voice.
In council. They have a duty to take your and my concerns if we raise them formally or even informally if they are proactive to council to say, listen, this is unacceptable. And why do I say it? Well, because these are the reasons. Look at the money that's being wasted.
Yeah.
It's public. It's in the public domain. Our people, the people that we represent are saying enough is enough. You're not spending the money where we're seeing benefit. So we want you to stop this activity until it's been formalized and regularized, or else we will report back to our communities who then might escalate the matter further into possibly even, heaven forbid, but some sort of mass action.
You know what irked me was when I was at the council meeting last week, we were asked to leave. The media and the public were asked to leave. There was no one there. The public, you know, the EDs were asked to leave. There were only two representatives from the local media. And this was tabled. And when I approached some of the councillors to ask for clarification, none of them wanted to go on record. None of them actually spoke about it. They all got this report.
But do you think it's because everyone at that level is benefiting?
Well, one of them said that it's an in-committee item, and if we leak it to the or if we talk openly about it, we could possibly be disciplined. So I don't know
And lose the perks.
Well, this, clearly, because the CPOs, even from
everyone is enjoying the benefits in some way. It's all rolling down, and no one is prepared to forego those benefits because, well, it's human nature, I suppose. If you're enjoying the benefits of being connected to the council in that way, it's a nice job if you can get it, hey?
Of course. Now,
what does a councillor earn?
A councillor earns just over 40,000 rand a month. Now, a CPO can earn up to 37,000 rand a month. And, you know, when I go to council and I see some of these CPOs looking...
What is a CPO?
A community protection officer, which is assigned to the councillor. And as I said on the report, they have a right to appoint whoever they want. So they can't go to the police and say, you need to give me a CPO. They call them CPOs, or in the olden days, they used to call them bodyguards. We can now elect our own bodyguards. And can you imagine now they become, you know, posts for favour. And a lot of these guys look like they couldn't even chase a little I don't want to
say
anything.
Well, it's a hell of a nice family business.
100%. Now, one of the counselors...
How do we apply for this position?
You know when Dolly Govender was mayor, her niece was her bodyguard. And we openly saw it. And now the municipal manager, his two nephews are his CPOs. Can you imagine how much... And they employ full-time. They've actually been absorbed into the municipality's payroll. So they've become full-time employees of the municipality with all the perks.
Well, now here you are. If you're listening to this podcast and you're feeling as incensed as I am, you might be tempted to do something. In other words, lift up your cell phone and dial your local ward councillor and demand that they, on your behalf, take up the cudgels and report back as to how this complete and utter nonsense is going to be resolved. Bottom line is, you know, everyone is, if there's a genuine threat, and it might be, well, then let's identify it and act appropriately. But it seems at the moment like it's a jolly free-for-all and wonderful job if you can get it.
100%. Another channel to take ratepayer money and funnel it for their own enjoyment and use. We will keep following the story, and we're going to make it public as well. As soon as the figures are released, it's going to be very interesting to see each line item, and we are going to put it on all our platforms as well.
And that was Uncensored with Penny Faree, proudly brought to you by IPSS Electronic Security. When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security. As the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring, with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.